Talking about how the Word of God and our relationship and our knowledge of Jesus Christ ought to be making our life count. You know, it really ought to give value to it. It ought to be our identity. Jesus Christ ought to be what is making us who we want to be and who we are. When people see us, they ought to think about Jesus because of the way we respond to life. Now, the sad truth is that isn't necessarily the way all Christians reflect to the world. Romans chapter 12, if you have your Bibles, I challenge you to open there. We're going to stay for you. You'll be able to just stay there once you find it in your scripture. I'm looking at verses, I said 10 through 13, I really meant 11 through 13. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. This is a portion of scripture that is following 11 chapters of doctrine about who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. He has very clearly stated that we have all like sheep. It says, none righteous, there's no not one. We're all sinners. And we fall short of the glory of God. And then he comes forth and he said, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He provided. And if we accept him, if we believe in him, if we trust in him, no condemnation. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. These are wonderful truths. And then he puts together a new family, which we're neither Jew nor Gentile. There's no longer a separation. We are one in the body of Christ. Every one of us that knows Jesus Christ here are part of the body of Christ. No matter where we were born, no matter what our backgrounds are, no matter anything else, if we are that, we are together as one in Christ. We stand equal before the cross. Isn't that a beautiful truth? In this day where everything is segregated and divided and we're all over here and over there, but in Christ, that's our identity. And there's oneness. It says, because of that, we ought not to be lagging in diligence. That word, diligence, is talking about commitment. It's talking about energy given to the cause. You see it in some athletes, particularly in the Olympics, when you see them compete, they give it their all. They've waited, they probably trained their whole life, and now they've come down to this one or two races, and when they run it, they run with no thought of saving anything. It's that type of concept. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. What excites you? Now, that's an important question, by the way. What excites you? What gets you? Man, that would really be thrilling. In our day and age, we are living in a culture where we are just getting bombarded with all sorts of messages about what ought to excite us. And let me tell you, almost every one of those messages that are on our media, on our television, and on the radio, and that sort of thing, really do not find, you don't find anything that's very fulfilling in it. They have a way of ending up very empty, as a matter of fact. So what excites you? When was the last time you were truly excited about something? Now, does that not reveal just the question itself? Does that not reveal a problem? We can get into this just, you know, I'm getting up and I know I've got to do this today and I'm going to get through today. And we just go about this. We're very much like a hamster in a wheel. We're just going about life. It ought not to be this way, but I'm telling you, Satan is having a victory here because he's got a lot of us convinced to just run the hamster wheel. When was the last time you would describe yourself as really excited by Jesus? That Jesus really gripped your heart and just, you couldn't even sleep. You were so excited about what Jesus is doing. That is to be the experience of all of us who know Jesus. You recognize, that's what Scripture is saying here. I'll come back to the verse. It says, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent. You might want to mark that word in your Bible. Do you know what the word, the Greek word really means? It is used of boiling water. It's boiling. Your spirit is boiling. It's bubbling up. It's just overflowing. It's red hot is another way to translate it. You understand what Scripture is saying? This is what the Apostle Paul, by the way, the Apostle Paul was communicating to people that were going out with the message. This is in the first century, in a world that was surely as wicked as ours, surely as anti-Christian as ours. And yet, 3 centuries later, the head of the Roman Empire declares that they're a Christian nation. That's the impact that they were able to have in a culture that was very opposed to them. How was that? Because they took to heart what the Apostle Paul was saying is the call of every believer. You are to lag nothing in diligence, and you are to have a fervent, a boiling, red-hot spirit. The Spirit of Christ ought to be burning in our hearts. Now, seriously, when I say that, does that describe your relationship with Jesus? It is supposed to. And you and I are going to be accountable for this. He couldn't be more clear that that's what he's calling us to. And we're doing it serving the Lord. And I'm telling you, that runs in the face of a culture which is all about meeting our own needs, getting what we want, arranging what we think we need, when in fact it says, no, you ought to be bubbling over with just an excitement for the work of the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation. You notice that? Rejoicing in hope. Hope is a confidence in things that are ahead that you can't see, but you've been told about in Scripture. You know what that says? We can do that no matter what, even if we were facing beheading. You can have a rejoicing and hope. My prayer is that if that would ever be my lot in life, that I would have that heart. Rejoicing in the hope of being absent from the body and present with the Lord. And for all eternity be able to celebrate the truth so that I was confident and stood for Him all the way to the end. That should be all of our hearts. This fervent spirit comes from experiencing the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's why I say that. Look at your Bible. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you. Beseech. Therefore, by the mercies of God. The therefore is referring back to the doctrinal teaching of all that He's done for us. But He is a beseeching. That's an urging, just a pushing us. That's what Paul was doing. He was just shoving it forward and saying, well, listen, you ought to be just energized to do what he's going to say. But he says, why you ought to do that? I urge you, therefore, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. The reason why you ought to do what is following in that verse is because what God has already done for you. I had sinned and deserve hell and damnation for all eternity. And a loving, gracious God went to the cross and paid the price for my sins. And He did for you also. And if you have come to know Jesus Christ in a genuine way, God, before the foundations of the world, chose you. That's a phenomenal truth, isn't it? He chose you. You say, well, why did he choose me and not them? I don't know. But I celebrate in the fact that he chose me. I am really, really, really thankful that I'm in that group. These are really beautiful truths. And because of that, we are to be living sacrifices. And it comes down further when he explains how to do that. One of the key factors is a fervent spirit, a red-hot spirit for the Lord. Now, you may say, well, that isn't describing me, Pastor. I don't know. My life is hard. I've got to work through this. You know what? Get over the pity party. But seriously, I am saying that to every one of us. We got to get over ourselves and get excited about our great God. And if you want to start finding some value in life and some meaning in life, this is where it's found. It's found in Jesus Christ, and it's found in getting excited about who he is. This fervent spirit leads to love of others. We are to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. It says in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, that it is by our love for one another that people are to recognize that we are genuine followers, genuine individuals that are part of the body of Christ. Our love for others. Now, every one of us has the opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ in everybody that we're in contact with. Even those that in earlier today you didn't like. As a believer, we ought to demonstrate the love of Christ. That love of Christ is not first and foremost an emotion, although it would produce an emotion. It is first and foremost a response of your will to say, I will give of myself to meet their needs, to be a blessing to them in the name of Christ. Now, I just think about whatever environment, if you have a job and the people around you are driving you nuts, they're most ungodly, they just are always negative. Well, go in and purpose to be different and show them the love of Christ. You know, if you're not in that situation and you may be retired and you're meeting with your neighbors and meeting with other friends, they may be grumbling about life. They may be grumbling about Obamacare or Medicare or the doctor or whatever. You still have been called to be a light. And we ought to be rejoicing in the Lord how often?
Always.
You get my point? These are things you and I need to be reminded. This is the way to find purpose and meaning in life. You and I need to decide. You know, there are several of the ladies from Healing House. Do you recognize what a beautiful opportunity you have to demonstrate this on a moment-by-moment basis and really see it have a difference in the lives of others? Demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. It's not about getting my way or getting my rights or having my entitlement. It is about being a servant of the Lord. Now, note this. This word, fervent, has the concept that in our culture of like zealous, like fanatic. Okay, that's the type of emphasis the word has. We are seeing in a regular basis, if you're keeping track of what's happening in the world, individuals who are sold out completely, and they're doing this. They're doing it, but with the wrong motivation and with the wrong God. They're really serving the evil one. Totally. And just by their acts, you know it. As much as our fervent spirit is to manifest itself in love for others and self-giving, giving of ourselves to meet the needs of others, You notice the end of this? Distributing to the needs of the saints, right up here. Distributing to the needs of the saints and given to hospitality. Being, come on in, I'll do what I can do to help. That's a fervent spirit. Ruth, I think of, you know, your invitation to offer the Williams son an opportunity to come here and come into your home and you would help him. You know, this is what we're talking about. It's going out of our way to say, you know what, I can help and I'm going to help. For the sake of Jesus Christ, I'm going to help. Later, Ruth, I got to keep going here. The contrast in our culture is this fervent spirit, but it isn't the fervent spirit for the right thing. Their fervent spirit leads to life-taking and terrorism. So we are seeing the intensity for which we are supposed to be living, lived out by those that are following the evil one. But we're not seeing a comparable zeal for the work of God. And that is how we'll be victorious. Is by us getting so excited, except instead of taking out a knife and beheading anybody that refuses our message, we are going to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. We are going to be sacrificial and serving others. Now that transformed the world in the first 3 centuries after Christ. Because the followers did that. We are not doing it today. We have gone to sleep at the wheel. And we're wondering why Christianity doesn't have any impact. It's because we do not have the fervent spirit that he's commanding us to hold. The gospel. Living a life that counts. I don't know about you. Not everyone is at this point. Some of you are a little further along the journey, so I hope you are already there and we're there. But I'm at a point where a year ago I said, you know what? It's obvious to me I'm not living forever. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? It's more when you're 30 or 35, you know, this looks a little different. But when you get into your mid-60s, all of a sudden you start really having reminders that, you know what? What I used to do, I really can't do. I was playing with my grandkids on Sunday afternoon, and we were playing soccer. And then we started to play tag. And these little guys were hard for me to run away from. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. You understand what I'm saying? I felt like I should be able to run really quick and move really fast, but I wasn't moving really fast, and it was hard to keep away from them. Now, here's my point. Because of that very natural reminder, I have really doubled my commitment to the Lord that says, listen, I want every day to count. I want to finish strong. I want to live my life so it counts. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, we've looked at it before many times Wednesday night. It says the reason why he saved us is to be conformed to the image of his son. This fervent spirit is one of the ways that we can model our Savior. He was zealous for God the Father's work. It was not his will, but his Father's will be done. Modeling Jesus. Now I'm just going to just watch the highlighted word. Faith family is my terminology for a group of believers. Okay, so I'm going to set this up a little bit so you don't miss what I'm trying to communicate. Our faith family, we are a faith family. As a church, we're definitely a faith family. We're a family of people by faith. For ladies, you would be another faith family. You could be, some of you are part of our faith family here, but you also have, in a lot of respects, a faith family at Healing House, where you're there together. And let me tell you, I know for a fact the way you interact with one another and encourage one another to turn to Jesus and to live for Jesus, you will have a huge impact on the success of finding victory over things that otherwise have dominated your life. And many in here could give testimony. They've been there before. So here we are, a faith family that looks in a way that models Christ to the world. We should purpose to look like one who is a follower of Jesus. Not only should we look, we should act like it. Not only act, we should demonstrate the feelings of a believer, one that isn't cold and indifferent to the hurting, but not excited about the filth. One who eats like one who recognizes there's a calling on our life and we have a responsibility. One who serves in a way that reflects the love of Jesus, reflects who Christ is. Wow, that's got to be a Christian that's doing that. One who sings like a Christian. You know what I mean by that? Every one of us ought to sing with all of our heart. Some can carry a tune and some can't. But you know what? That's not the issue. You know what the real issue is? Is that you put your heart into it. Not just say, oh, I don't sing. No, I don't sing. No, that's wrong. We ought to give our level best to sing with all of our heart, whether we carry a tune or not, because of the message. That is one of the critical. Go to Ephesians. You'd see that singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs is a tremendous way that we minister to one another and we minister to our own hearts. Celebrate that way. We celebrate like Christians. We don't cheer as a group because 3,000 people were crushed in a building that had been hit by a terrorist. We celebrate good things. We celebrate the birth of a baby. We celebrate the rescue of those that are in trouble. We celebrate when good people come to the rescue of people that are being terrorized. We mourn in a special way. We have hope, even in death. And want to reflect Jesus Christ to the world in the way we pray. Talking to the Father. Be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what God is endeavoring to do in every one of our lives that are believers. To conform us to be like Jesus. Notice what 1 John chapter 2 verse 6 says. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. You and I are to have a life that is the commitment that Jesus Christ had when he was here on earth. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Notice this passage, Romans chapter 12. I'm in the middle of this section. I just took some phrases. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, let it be genuine. Be kindly affectionate to one another. We would show compassion. We're not indifferent. Continuing steadfast in prayer. We are men and women that are bringing the requests that are on our heart and the burdens of others before the throne. And distributing to the needs of the saints, especially to fellow believers. Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says, for we did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but we received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's the spirit that is supposed to be fervent within us. That spirit that we receive from the Son. Galatians 4 verse 6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. That's the ferventness of the spirit. I have two of my grandkids that when they leave me in the evening, Even if they were walking away and they forgot, they will turn around and come back and give grandma and grandma a hug and a kiss. And they do it. You just know the genuineness of their heart when they're doing it. It is so sweet. That's that concept of the Abba Father. What's your cry to the Lord look like? What's your prayer look like? Is it mechanical? Not lagging in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, I just want you to reflect on a couple of thoughts, and then I'm going to give you a couple challenges, and we'll close. Reflection one. Does your neighborhood or your environment in which you live see our faith family as fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord? You suppose the people in North Minneapolis see us that way? Many of you know Don Samuels, and you know his wife is very active in a lot of the... She sent us a letter thanking us for our fervent. It was interesting. She sent us a letter. Said, you fervently, I think the word she used, fervently invested in the community. I thought that was fascinating that that would show up in the mail yesterday when I was going to share this message today. But the truth is, we could do a whole lot better. Can you imagine the impact of a group of believers, a faith family, even a group like ours? The verse and capabilities. We have a lot of different skills. But we're diverse in capabilities, and everybody's capability is being applied to its fullest. Fervent in spirit, excited about the Lord, and devoted to serving our Lord. Can you imagine the impact we could have in a culture like ours? There are tons of people that are hurting and looking for an answer. And Jesus Christ is that answer, and we are to be that light. The challenge. In view of God's mercy and what He has done for us already, it's already completed. How could your faith family fervently serve your community? How could we do that better? What else could we do? If you find yourself lacking zeal and passion, I'm challenging you specifically, start tonight to pray that the Lord would stir your affections for Jesus. Because you might say, no, I'm kind of dead. It's, you know, honestly, that's not me. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, if you profess to know Jesus Christ and that's where you're at, you need to pray that God would light a fire in your soul. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share this. And as we close tonight, I do pray that every one of us would be earnestly desiring our hearts to be, our souls, our spirit to be boiling over with joy in Christ. Help us, Father, to be the people of Jesus that you've called us to be. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.